Okay, I think we might be ready to get to work. Are we? Good afternoon. Welcome to the September 15th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll, October 15th?
Novick?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Hales?
Here. We have a single item on the council calendar this afternoon. Would you read it for us, please?
Before we get to that, Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to say for people watching in TV land that the trails policy is going to come back to council not on the 28th, but on November 4th.
Okay. So, ordered.
Item 1055, adopt the recommendations contained within the Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues and Portlanders, if you asked most Americans what comes to mind if you gave them the phrase Division Midway, most of them would probably think it has something to do with the Second World War, or perhaps the Chicago Bears. But for purposes of today, we're talking about the Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan study area, which is roughly between 112th and 148th and between Holgate and Stark. Outer Southeast Division and the Division Midway area are an increasingly important part of our city. This is reflected in many regional and city policies. Outer Southeast Division is identified as a civic corridor with a town center at 122nd Avenue in the recommended Portland 2035 comprehensive plan update currently underway. Outer Southeast Division is designated as a main street in the Metro Region 2040 growth concept plan. Through the Powell Division Transit and Development Project led by Metro, Outer Southeast Division has been identified as part of the preferred route for a future bus rapid transit line between Portland and Gresham. PDC has established the Division Midway Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative along Southeast Division from 117th to 148th. The goal of the NPIs is to strengthen the economic competitiveness of neighborhood business districts through community planned and community implemented actions projects. The Division Midway area is becoming denser and more diverse. From a demographic and socioeconomic standpoint, Division Midway is more ethnically and racially diverse than the city as a whole. It is less affluent and has a greater proportion of both children and seniors. Plus, more future growth is planned along the Southeast Division corridor. The overall goal of the Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan is to better increase street connectivity and multimodal travel options within the project area. This plan can help achieve many of our citywide goals, such as improving equity and creating health and connected and complete neighborhoods. Improving local connections through the neighborhood can provide quieter, low-stress routes so that residents do not always have to walk or ride their bike on busy streets. This can also help improve safety and help us meet our Vision Zero goals. This plan will provide the framework for improving connectivity in the Division Midway plan area by prioritizing the most needed and beneficial sidewalk and bike projects, local street segments, and pathways and connections. And now it is my great honor to introduce the Admiral Nimitz, the Coach Ditka of the Division Midway Streetscape Plan, April Bertelson of PBOC.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Novick. I don't think I've ever quite had an introduction like that.
I'm pretty sure you haven't.
My pleasure. Mary Hales, commissioners. Again, my name is April Bertelson, a senior transportation planner with Portland Bureau of Transportation, and I'm going to tell you more about the Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan. Before I do so, though, I wanted to start with providing some greater context around connectivity in our city and how we go about trying to improve connectivity. A bit of a state of connectivity report, if you will. We have in place for now, for a while, regional and city connectivity policies that would call for streets generally to be no more than 530 feet apart and pedestrian connections generally no more than 330 feet apart.
Do you have a PowerPoint?
I do.
We don't have any.
Oh, dear.
Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Now we have it.
Now we do.
All right. It's up there. So there. I just read the slide. there's various ways locally on how we implement this improving connectivity. And beginning in the mid-90s, that was generally through creating master street plans for an area of the city that was not meeting connectivity or where we expected significant change and growth. And we would generally, on these areas, identify very specific street alignments And then on others, we did some larger general plan for districts, including Southwest and far Southeast Portland, where we don't meet connectivity very broadly. And in that, we identified more of a general alignment through blocks where we would want to have connectivity in the future through redevelopment. And really, the key way that we increase connectivity is through private redevelopment of land as it comes in through the development process. And I have Kurt Kruger with me here today if we want to talk more about that. Since the mid-90s, in about 2002, the zoning code was amended to strengthen our connectivity code and land division. And that has helped us in continuing to achieve connectivity within some constraints. Since then, our shift has been more through doing neighborhood plans of late, where it is both focused on where can we get future connectivity, but also how can we improve our existing rights of way, as many of these areas also have.
Mayor, can I ask you a question? I have a hard time.
Yeah, I'm getting that fixed. I'm getting that fixed right now.
Oh.
An event going on outside.
I know, but
there.
It doesn't start yet.
It doesn't start yet, and it's.
I found it quite relaxing.
Yeah, I'm.
Maybe they
Mike,
can
could you go down
bring it down
and
about.
Tell them to
50
wait
decibels.
Until 3:45. Thank you.
Shall I continue then? I can be louder.
Be louder for now, and then in a minute, hopefully you won't have to.
So in terms of the neighborhood plans, there is a shifting emphasis that we are making towards what can we do to improve the existing right-of-way, make the most of that. And that started with the Coley neighborhood plan a couple years ago in Northeast. Now today, the Division Midway. And coming soon to you on November 4th will be the Tryon Stevens Headwaters neighborhood street plan. This map here shows the state of connectivity. The darker blocks are blocks of the city that don't meet our connectivity policy. The very dark ones far exceed the connectivity policy. Less concerned about the industrial areas around the edge, but more of those neighborhoods where you see those darker blocks.
So the very dark far exceeds?
Say again?
The dark color is areas that far exceed?
Yeah, far exceeding, or not meeting our connectivity. The blocks are too large.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We would want a finer grain grid of streets that you find in inner Portland, in the old, as you will, the streetcar neighborhoods that were developed in a different era. So our master street plans that I mentioned for far Southeast and Southwest Portland really focus on trying to identify how do we get future connections through redevelopment. And then these other green areas are the areas where we've done more specific street plans, master street plans, to give you an idea of the lay of the land of our planning in this area. And one thing I'd want to emphasize, there are some stories of success, but there's also many places where we're still working on that connectivity. It's very incremental. But where we have had success is where we haven't done it alone, when we've done it in partnerships, particularly street plans were most successful in high-density areas with lots of redevelopment, and also where we had public partnerships with public funding or other partners helping to make the improvements. And South Waterfront, I think, is a prime example where we've had a really successful street plan implemented. Now for Division Midway. Broadly speaking, this is a local, it identifies local streets and pathways for connections to improve connectivity twofold. We are both looking at improvements in existing right-of-way as well as future connections through large blocks of private property. We're prioritizing the connections that most help achieve our city goals around equity, healthy, connected, complete neighborhoods, and access to transit. This is a map of the study area where we focused in more greatly, focused around Division and the Neighborhood Prosperity Initiative and Main Street. to Stark to Holgate from 112th to 148th. Why Division Way is important, Commissioner Novick has already spoken to these points, so I'm going to breeze through on them. Thank you. There you can see the future alignment, or at least the already settled portions of the Powell Division, BRT. In terms of the goals and objectives, is to develop a neighborhood street plan that better increases street connectivity and multimodal travel. So there's indeed an emphasis, while we're looking at all modes, and a greater emphasis on multimodal. We want to establish a more connected local street and pathway network, create safer walking and bicycling routes to neighborhood destinations, transit, and the regionally designated Main Street, and define a range of options for improving local streets, including use of Portland's street-by-street design options, and also inform future improvements to be built over time by property owners and developers in the city. So there is some predictability in there as well. This builds on past planning efforts that have already identified the connectivity we need. Gateway Master Street Plan, Concept Plan, as already mentioned, the Far Southeast Master Street Plan, Outer Powell Conceptual Design Plan that included a local access, local street and access ways report, East Portland in Action Plan, which has many action items that we would help to advance, and East Portland in Motion. We developed this plan not alone, but together with a project working group with representatives from the community as well as reaching out to the broader public. But I think our project working group really did the most heavy lifting, and you'll hear from them a few of them today. This list shows you some of the neighborhood associations, East Portland Action Plan, Division Midway Alliance, and others who participated through the process with us. A bit more about the problem. There are many unpaved streets and unimproved public rights of way. There's a lack of sidewalks and other transportation infrastructure on many of the existing streets. There is also poor street and pathway connectivity, many dead-end streets or incomplete connections that we're still working on incrementally. In terms of the needs, opportunities, and constraints, one of the greatest needs we found as we were looking through this is the lack of connections in the east-west direction between Division and Powell. So as it is today, you can't really walk, drive, or bike from here to there very easily following this orange arrow. The streets simply don't go through. Or there are maybe a connection here, one or two connections, but they're unimproved. So we really put emphasis on trying to strengthen those east-west connections and establish some of a grid. Some of the constraints around the incremental implementation is that we're working within an existing neighborhood pattern. Some of this area has already developed. And as you look in this example here, there are streets that end in front of homes. We are not likely to get those connections for a long time if we do, or it'd be very incremental. It also largely depends on when developers come in, so we are somewhat reactionary. And here's an example where we have been able to get a street connection, and you can see the new streets, sidewalks, stormwater improvements with the development, but yet the sidewalk ends on one side, and it's only half a street. So this street cannot be completed until that next property comes in for development. Another thing that can challenge us and constrains us is the pattern of development at lot size and dimensions. East Portland is very commonly have long, narrow blocks, or lots, long, narrow lots. And so to subdivide them, it is very challenging to even get a half-street connection. In addition, some of this area that developed prior to our connectivity policies and street plans, it resulted in a number of stub streets or cul-de-sacs. And as you'll see, it'll be hard to break those streets through. And it limits our opportunities where we can, and why I think all the more important that we do where we can. Another constraint is land use law. We are beholden to meet nexus and proportionality requirements for development, and that includes cost now with more recent cases. So this does limit our ability to how much we can require of new streets or full street improvements. We do assessments to meet that RUF proportionality when we are calculating dedications. And there are times when we simply cannot get that, that, or we are challenged on it. So within those constraints, we have come up with some recommendations. As I said, there's the two type. I'm going to first talk about the connection improvements in existing public right-of-way, and then I'll talk about the future connections through existing private property. So we focused on existing dirt and gravel streets, dirt paths, unimproved, completely unimproved rights of way, and identified 34 candidates for evaluation. We developed criteria to help us prioritize those connections and learn more about them. We put an emphasis on connectivity that would benefit the broader neighborhood for some or all modes, and as I shared before, providing access to key destinations and transit, schools, parks, and others. We then, after evaluating them, broke those connections into three tiers, with the top tier being the top priority. Working with our project working group, they identified three criteria that were most important, most highly valued, and so we weighted those more greatly, and thus there is more emphasis in our priorities around access to transit, improving our connecting to our neighborhood greenways and safe routes to school, as well as equity, and thus serving targeted underserved populations, vulnerable users, and people more likely to depend upon walking and biking and transit. There's the longer list of criteria. And then this is the map of the prioritized connections, the ones in dark blue being the top priority and most serving the community and connections to destinations. Broken into tables, which I won't belabor as much, but these are some of the tiers, and if you have questions about any particular connection, I would be happy to answer. Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. We then also looked at each of these connections for consideration of design. And for some of them, we had recommended further consideration of using our street-by-street guidelines, either a curbless street with a separated sidewalk, which would be the preference of our project working group, or a shared street, which would be a curbless 16-foot-wide street. These are more flexible and affordable designs that we believe will help to achieve connections sooner and may also be more within reach of property owners or in partnership with the city. I would like to highlight a connection to help bring this to life. This is Southeast Woodward from 136 to 140th. Mm-hmm. It's connection number 21 on the larger map, if you want to look. And it is all existing right-of-way along Southeast Woodward from 140th to 137th, and then it turns there. However, this is what it looks like. This is looking east at 138th. And then this is turning around and looking west. And if you continue down, you turn, and voila, you're at 137th, and it's a lovely scene. New development, children playing on the sidewalk or in the street. So we would like to see how we might be able to make this more inviting. This is also in that area that does not have any other alternative for walking through the neighborhood besides going to Powell, which this portion would not yet have sidewalks, or to Division, where we are funding and building sidewalks. So So we envisioned, together with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability Urban Design, on what it could look like and shared this with the community. This is not a committed design. This is a potential concept to start to think, how could we think of these places differently? In addition to getting connectivity, help create places and achieve other goals. So this is here where one option where it's open to everyone, all modes, to go through. We've taken down the fence that is there. Another more modest potential concept is keeping the fence and limiting the through movement to just walking and biking and or driveway access. So just some different, want to rethink how we could do these places. So that's one connection. Then the other piece I wanted to talk more about is the future public connections across existing private property. And to clarify, these symbols that you see, this is if you see these diamond hatch marks along the street, it's saying connect somewhere here along this frontage through the block to the other side, roughly and another place where the other diamonds are. Or where we are a little more certain about where we want that street connection to be, we put arrows saying connect to this street. But in between, we're leaving some flexibility for that to be determined at the time of development and when we have a sense of which properties are coming in, how large they are, and what their site plans are, so we can work with them. So that give the general conceptual alignment. We are still limited by the rough proportionality test in these cases. And here is a zoomed-out map of all the areas where we either already have planned connections in our Far Master Street plan, those are in black and green, or where we have recommended them through the Outer Powell conceptual design plan, and then in brown. And then in blue is the new ones through Division Midway. We are recommending additional connections. So then for the plan recommendations, we are recommending to amend the transportation system plan through our next update to add the Tier 1, 2, and 3 connections to either existing projects or to citywide programs that we have in program areas. In addition, to add all of the future connections across private property to the Far Master Street plan, Far Southeast. And then to seek funding, beginning with the top tier priorities. As well as to heed the considerations and concerns that we've heard during implementation and working with the neighbors and moving forward, where there are considerations, as well as stormwater considerations. And then find out to provide more street lighting along substandard streets. We did hear about this passionately, about the need for more street lighting. Additional recommendations was to, more on the funding side, is to explore more public-private partnerships. As well as to pursue implementation strategies to increase the likelihood that new streets and pathway connections can be achieved through the development process. One of those ways that we have been in conversation about is looking at a minimum lot size requirement so that when development comes in to the permitting process, you need to either have a large lot already or perhaps cobble together a couple lots to come in and really be able to do a more robust site plan and meet that proportionality test for getting a street connection through there. In addition, looking at recommending considering that making more local streets eligible for our transportation system development charge project list. Our Bureau will soon be going into an update of that list, and so recommending consideration of adding these. And then pursue a variety of funding sources through programs and grants. A quick overview of where we were and how we got here. We kicked off this project in summer of 2013. And then over the next year is really when we did our existing conditions and needs analysis and evaluation and getting to recommendations. We then spent the last while refining the plan and incorporating edits we've received, as well as developing implementation strategies. And now here we are today seeking your endorsement to adopt the plan. A bit about the process. We, given the diversity that we have within this community, we did try to reach out to the community and go through less conventional means. But while also doing our more conventional open houses. We participated in the Midway Fall Festival that is was hosted by the Division Midway Alliance, and we had a booth, and then we did a neighborhood ride, roll, and stroll with people who wanted to go and walk or bike through the neighborhood with us. We also had an open house to get feedback on our needs, opportunities, and constraints and criteria. We then worked with a class, ESL class at David Douglas High School with a teacher there who was also participating on our project working group, and worked with their class to do map exercises and help them map their neighborhood and how they get around, as well, and so we could learn from that, as well as take a survey and administer it to each other. So it was also a lesson for them. We learned, in addition to where is important, but also what kinds of improvements, better lighting and sidewalks were some of the top. Some other outreach we did, we worked with some wonderful partners, Amanda Hart at Metropolitan Family Services and the Sun Program at Lincoln Park Elementary. We did a language-based outreach to Russian, Somali, Karen, Burmese, Nepali, and Spanish-speaking families, recent immigrants, and to also work with community translators to talk about our plan. And then we had a final open house to get feedback on the recommendations. And that is all I have for you today. Be happy to take questions and then invite a few of our project working group members to also testify.
Questions from council? The mayor had to go to an event and he apologizes. Thank you very much. I have a couple of questions. How do the recommendations for prioritizations fit in with the East Portland in Motion plan?
There is some similarity. I worked on the East Portland in Motion plan as well in terms of looking at criteria and the access to transit. Another key one is the equity criteria that we had. We used the same data and maps that were based on demographics of where there are concentrations of people who do not own cars, low income, people of color, and concentrations of seniors and children.
So my understanding with the East Portland in Motion plan was that it was somewhat of a prioritization of the projects that were known back when the plan was done. Now that we've identified these projects, will the community be involved in deciding maybe something on this list should go high on the East Portland in Motion list?
There is some overlap. A number of the EPIM, there are a few EPIM projects that remain unfunded that go through this project area. Those, again, ranked high in the Division Midway plan.
Okay.
And so you'll see them near the top. It's the 130s Neighborhood Greenway, but adding sidewalks for segments of that we didn't catch in the East Portland in Motion. In addition, the 4M Neighborhood Greenway along Market and Mill and Mill Main, that neighborhood greenway is still unfunded, as well as the sidewalks that were also, both of those were in East Portland in Motion. So this, I think, reinforces the value of them when we looked at it both from an East Portland wide, that it was a priority, and then when we focused in on a smaller study area, it is also still a priority. So I think they complement each other well in that respect.
So when we're updating the transportation system plan, we'll use both documents, and that then it'll get ranked into the transportation system plan.
Yes.
So if it's in both, then it's likely to get higher.
Yes, and then but using the criteria for our transportation system plan as well, and there's some similarities.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you. And then my other question is, when is the next Portland Bureau of Transportation System Development charge update? I noticed that one of the strategies for funding was to perhaps use SDCs for local streets.
I do believe that would kick off in 2016.
Yeah. Getting a nod from Mr. Kruger. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you.
You have other folks to testify?
Yeah.
Welcome to our honored guests.
Hello.
In case there's a follow-up question.
Good to have the expert right next to you when you're testifying. Good afternoon, commissioners. For the record, my name is Jessica Vega Peterson. I'm the state representative in House District 47, which includes much of the area that's included in this plan. So before I begin, I wanted to thank Commissioner Novick, Director Leah Treat, and especially April Bertelson for her great job in managing this project. And I also wanted to thank my co-members of the project working group for their time and commitment on this project. So I was a member of the project working group because of my role as a board member for the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association. And we appreciate being included in the development of this plan. I was involved throughout this planning process, and I support City Council adopting the Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan. I want to commend PBOT staff for their open and transparent process in including much stakeholder involvement, and April did a wonderful job of describing that, so I won't go into details, but it was really good to see that the people of East Portland included in so many ways in the development of this plan. This plan provides the framework for connectivity, for improving the connectivity in my neighborhood. It elevated the most needed and most beneficial sidewalk projects, local street segments, and pedestrian and bike pathways to the top tier of priorities. The portion of the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association that's included in the Division Midway study area is bounded by Southeast Stark, Southeast Division, 130th and 142nd. This area of the neighborhood lacks a good east-west walking and biking routes throughout our neighborhoods. People most often have to route through busy streets such as Southeast Stark, Southeast Mill, and Southeast Division. And while we do have more north-south connections, many lack sidewalks on the streets that lead to schools, commercial areas, bus stops, and future bus rapid transit. I want to talk about two specific areas of this project that are among the top tier projects because it has to do with the neighborhood where I live and the area right around my house. So first of all is Southeast Mill Street from 130th to 148th. This is an area that's still missing sidewalks and bicycle facilities, but it connects to multiple schools, including David Douglas High School and Lincoln Park Elementary School. Sidewalks and bike facilities on Southeast Mill is a very high priority for our neighborhood, and it's also been raised as a high priority for the Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan. This is the area where I live. I live on Southeast Mill Street, and you know, my kids are riding their bikes along these sidewalks or even in the areas where sidewalks do not yet exist, and they're crossing Mill Street to go to Lincoln Park. On the weekends, we have many cyclists who are already using this as a bike route, even though it's not yet designated with some of the markings on the street. And in the mornings and in the afternoons, it's flooded with pedestrians, with cars, with buses, as kids are coming home from David Douglas High School and Lincoln Park Elementary School. So this is a really highly used area, and I'm glad to see it was given high priority in the plan. 130th is also impacted by all those things that I just described. It is soon going to have bike facilities through the 130s neighborhood greenways to be built by the city, but it's still missing sidewalks. And because of that lack and something that's already planned for the street improvements, it is the number one priority in our street plan. The Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan has also prioritized other key local street connectors in our neighborhood that will help provide quiet and low impact streets, basically, not the busy ones, the low traffic ones, walking routes on local streets. So these include Southeast Grant from 130th to 132nd and Southeast 132nd Avenue. And also Southeast Sherman Drive from 138th to 139th. I wholeheartedly support all of these priorities, and I urge you to adopt this plan and to fund and build these streets as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. Thank you very much. My name is Arlene Kimura, and I actually feel like an afterthought after Jessica's. But I was actually a representative on that committee as part of the pedestrian advisory committee. And I am also a member of the Neighborhood Association and the East Portland Action Plan. What I want to commend the PBOT staff in this project was they did a concerted effort to do language and culturally specific outreach. And that also includes the folks who have lived there for 35 years. And April had an open house where a lot of them were not very nice to her, and she smiled and said, thank you very much. So I want to commend April for that. But this is an important pedestrian connection map. We don't have them. Our kids are not safe walking in streets. And I also want our elders to be able to walk in the streets. And so this plan does address that, because we do have a sore lack of good biking and walking connections. I do want to have the access to transit, improving connections in neighborhood, and the equity of serving underserved areas. I do appreciate that we have done a lot in finding those, and I urge you to support this plan, and let's get it implemented. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Are there others who want to testify?
Yes, we have two people signed up.
Great, thank you.
Please come on up, Rick Bartko and David Hapston.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Actually, I had prepared remarks, and I had some remarks specifically for the mayor, but he's not here, so. First off, let me congratulate April Bertelson and all of the very professional and dedicated PBOT staff who work so diligently in addressing the critical transportation and connectivity needs of the Midway neighborhoods. Their active civic engagement with participating citizens and advocacy groups of this area helped immensely in the assessment, analysis, and design of the plan. Congratulations also to Kim Marks, who is also not here today, but I know he spends a tremendous amount of time advocating for transportation issues, both in this realm and with the working group for Metro and TriMet on the BRT alignment. So hats off to him, very, very dedicated individual. Also thanks to the mayor and Commissioner Fish for attending the Division Midway Festival of Nations last month out of 122 in Division. Hopefully you were able to get a brief glimpse of the rich cultural diversity of the neighborhood. The people indeed are the lifeblood of the community. And I had an FYI for the mayor. He stopped by. I was running a little railroad layout there, and we had a brief conversation and discussed choo-choos, and I won't go any further than that. But basically, that layout's going to be at the Rosewood Initiative Community Care event this Saturday, the 17th, as well. So it's another chance if you want to pass it on to him. If he wants to see the choo-choos, they'll be out there with Jenny Glass. Metaphorically, and this is going to be probably a little clumsy, one might characterize the state of this area of East Portland proper as a citizen long neglected and overlooked for decades, its arteries malformed and circulation unfit to carry the vibrant lifeblood safely and efficiently from place to place. A patient long awaiting surgical intervention, unlike many other neighborhoods, principally much further west, that have taken such amenities for granted for a very long time. By adopting this resolution and hence the Division Midway Neighborhood Street Plan, you will at long last begin the work to repair existing and build new connections that will vastly improve the safe transport of the lifeblood of the community. Slowly, the newfound vitality will nourish and enhance the muscles and organs, jobs, in the brain, education, of the Midway, certainly helping it grow to become a commerce and cultural center that will complement and possibly rival the already prosperous city centers of Portland and to the west, the city of Gresham. Portland to the west, Gresham to the east. However, to coin a choo-choo quote by Will Rogers, even if you are on the right track, you will get run over if you just sit there. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm David Hampston.
I'm the transportation chair for the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association, and I also represent East Portland's on two PBOT committees, the Budget Committee and the Bicycle Advisory Committee. You can think of me as sort of the instigator of this project. I happened to be at a PBOT meeting about 2012, and one of the staff people came or were chatting, and he was asking for a suggestion for a TGM project, transportation growth management projects that ODOT usually sponsors. So PBOT was putting together an application. I basically pulled out a map of East Portland, gave them sort of the parameters of the streets, which is exactly what you've seen in this study, and basically pointed out a series of East Portland action plan items that he could use as justification for the project. And I pointed out to him that the area that they eventually studied had a different set of combination of different kinds of street patterns, many of which are not existent in inner Portland, but are very common in East Portland and parts of Southwest Portland. So the purpose of the project, along with everything you see in the report, so this is items that you wouldn't see in the report, but are important nevertheless. Part of the purpose of this project is to help City Council, PBOT, and the various other public agencies within the City of Portland understand how East Portland is configured and how it has developed, whether it's been in the period in the county up through 25 years ago or the period within the city in the last 25 years. This is the pattern that has emerged. A lot of it is from the county days, but even they were trying to convert it. It's basically a super block pattern where all traffic is focused on the main arterials, and then within the super block, you get very deliberately a messed up street pattern. The idea was to actually prevent connectivity for cars within the super block, but it ended up preventing connectivity for bikes and pedestrians as well, which is an unintended consequence. But the main idea in my mind was to get the public agencies to understand how East Portland operates rather than getting a whole bunch of questions, which we get every time we talk with PBOT officials and a lot of others from planning and BDS, of, you know, they're frustrated by East Portland because it's not conforming to what they're used to in inner Portland. And so we, as the Neighborhood Association, have to explain again and again, the pattern was different. It's not badly planned. It's just planned differently than Portland, inner Portland, is used to. So anyway, I just want to encourage you to not only approve the plan, but to think of it as sort of a guidebook on East Portland. Thank you.
That's got to be very satisfying to have taken it from suggestion to coming to council. What were some of the controversial or most challenging parts of the community engagement and the process to get to this point?
Actually, I think PBOT did a lot of things that they weren't used to doing, of reaching out to communities of color and communities that don't speak English as a first language. So in many ways, it was actually a helpful project for them. It was sort of a low-level project where they could actually experiment on public outreach in ways they've never done it before, or that most other public agencies within the City of Portland haven't done it. So I think it was actually quite helpful for them, and they're already using a lot of the same techniques for doing outreach not only in East Portland, but also in Coley and many other parts of Portland. Within the community, there were a lot of people who actually like having a gravel street in front of their home. It's a traffic calming device. It keeps the riffraff out of their neighborhood. And I'm sure you've heard of that even in inner southeast and in southwest Portland, so all over the city. However, I think there was also a recognition that it is public right-of-way. People have a right to pass through. And a lot of people were concerned that East Portland's a community with a lot of children. They like to play, and they hate the fact that they're having to play out in the middle of the streets. But by having a little bit more connectivity, they can possibly get to the existing parks that we have, but also by looking at these streets and looking at them as community spaces, we can provide pocket parks and that sort of thing. And so a lot of community members who were initially skeptical about the project were thinking, oh, maybe we can do other things other than just using it as a parking spot or as a, you know, a place that cars go through, but to use it more as a community space. So I think in many respects, this is actually a really innovative project.
Thank you so much. Would anybody else like to testify? Seeing none, we'll take a vote, please.
Novick?
I'd like to say how proud I am and how proud PBOT is about the planning efforts that have made this an inclusive process with outreach to a diversity of stakeholders, as you've heard. If you look at the big document, draw your attention to, on page 52, it talks about the surveys we did with David Douglas High School ESL students. The project team worked with an ESL class at David Douglas taught by teacher Ann Downing. They visited her class. The team introduced themselves in the project, led an exercise where the students were to draw a mental map of their daily travels, did a survey with them about their experience, and then asked them to do the survey themselves with family members and neighbors. On page 59, you'll see a discussion of the fact that at Lincoln Park Elementary School, the project team hosted a language-based outreach and engagement session with Metropolitan Family Services and the SUN program with a series of 6 non-English language sessions. So those are examples of the kind of, I think, unusual but hopefully to become unusual outreach work that we did in this project. We do, of course, have to figure out ways of funding some of these connections. We can seek grant funding through, for example, the Regional Flexible Funds Program for some of the projects like the 4M Neighborhood Greenway Bicycle Facilities and Sidewalks in Southeast Market and Mill. Doesn't mean we'll get it, but we can. Those are that's a pot of money we can pursue. We might consider allocating some of the local streets program, which were created in the last budget, funded at $1 million a year for some of the smaller connections in Division Midway. And I do hope to be able to fund some of these projects with the 10-cent local gas tax that we're going to pass in May. For example, the project for sidewalks on 130th is included in the sort of straw man list that we've put together so far for $58 million from that hoped for a source of money.
No, Steve just used the phrase straw man, and I'm not sure people really understand what you mean when you say the straw man proposal. And just to give you another example, I was with 5 or 6 people at breakfast this morning, and they were lamenting the growing congestion in our city. And I said, well, the solution is, of course, investing in a multimodal transportation system. And they all nodded, and then one after another they said, what does modal mean? So I'm reminded that when we gather here, we speak in our own secret coded language, and we have to find a way. Even the word green infrastructure, and I get in this fight with Mike Houck, it turns out it doesn't really mean that much to people who don't follow green infrastructure carefully. So, April, thank you very much for another superb piece of work. Representative Soon, Commissioner Jessica Vega-Peterson, thank you for joining us and for all who testified today. And Steve, thanks for bringing this forward. Over the last 5 years, the council did plans in Outer East Portland for new parks. And we did so even though at the time we didn't have a funding source. And it took an intrepid parks commissioner and a robust infusion of systems development charge money to actually then build them out. But we first had to have a plan, and we had to do the hard work of engaging the community and what might this look like if we had the resources. So thank you for laying the groundwork for the next step, and thanks to everyone who joined us this afternoon. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, thank you very much for this report. It was well done, and thank you for all the people who helped in terms of the steering committee and citizen participation. It's a great plan, and we got to fund it. Aye.
Fritz.
So there are two reasons that we don't have a room full of people in both chambers when we adopt a plan like this. One of them is that nobody knows about it, and the other is that everybody's happy with it. So I'm going to read the project working group so that you know who helped put it together. Laurie Boysen of the Midway Business Association and Division Midway Alliance, and the which is the Neighborhood Prosperity List Initiative, Ann Downing, David Douglas High School teacher, Tammy Hawkins, Division Midway Alliance, Trevor Hopper, Mill Park Neighborhood Association, Nicholas Johnson, Portland Commission on Disabilities, Arlene Kimura, Portland Pedestrian Advisory Committee, Tom Lewis, Centennial Neighborhood Association, Brian Lockwood, Powell Host Gilbert Neighborhood Association, Kim Marks, East Portland Action Plan and the East Portland Neighborhoods Organization, and Jessica Vega Peterson of the Hazelwood Neighborhood Association. Now, I know many of these folks. I'm kind of glad that I don't know all of them because it shows that there's a diversity of new folks coming in to help too. But I can tell you for sure that not one of those folks would be doing their regular job if it weren't for the fact that they were entirely happy with this plan. So I very much appreciate the diligence. I appreciate the representation of folks who've come in, and it does take a long time to get in from 122nd and beyond to City Hall. Thank you for all of your diligence and for bringing it so that you are representing your community in partnership with our great folks at the Portland Bureau of Transportation. Commissioner Novick, it sounds like a presentation to the chiefs of staff or others on the modeling what you did in this plan so that we can all learn from it would be really helpful. And we are learning from our communities. You at the East Portland Action Plan and the communities of East Portland are telling us what to do, and we appreciate it. And I found that when we follow your advice, things go much better. It's been said that perhaps we need a different form of government in order to be able to get attention for East Portland. I believe that everyone on this council truly understands our obligation to East Portland and to other areas of Portland that were annexed 40 some years ago and don't have the urban infrastructure that they so richly deserve. So I'm glad to see Commissioner Novick continuing to prioritize East Portland streets on his plans. I followed in Commissioner Fish's footsteps in prioritizing parks in East Portland. Ever since the East Portland Action Plan, which we, Commissioner Fish and Saltzman and I adopted, I think it was February of my first year in office, we have been diligently trying to correct the wrongs of the past. And really appreciate April Bertelson and Kurt Kruger from the Portland Bureau of Transportation, who have been working at this for decades and who likewise share in the values that you've heard espoused by the council today. Thank you so much. Aye. And with that, I believe we are, yes, adjourned.
Thank you.
I was follow Carla's instructions.